this morning, the book of Joshua, chapter number 2. Book of Joshua, chapter number 2. If you have a Scofield Bible, you can find it around page 260. Joshua, chapter number 2. Verse number 1, and Joshua, which by the way, the Greek word for Jesus is the same word. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house. And her name was Rahab, and they lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, there came in hither tonight children of Israel to search out the country. There's a watching for them. The king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee. Somebody seen them go in there, which are entered into your house. They come to search out all the country. And the woman took the 2 men and hid them and said, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. It came to pass about the time shutting of the gate and it's dark, the men went out. Whether the men went out, I would not pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. And she had brought them to the roof of the house and hid them in the stalks of flax. The men pursued after them the way of Jordan to the fords. As soon as they were pursued after them, they were gone out. They shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up on the roof to them and said to the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. Ain't you glad what He brings you to, He'll bring you through. And when you came out of Egypt, what you did to the 2 kings of the Amorites that was on the other side of Jordan. Verse 11, soon as we'd heard these things, our heart melted. And then she said in verse number 14, the men answered her, our life for yours. Said, it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we'll deal kindly and truly with thee. I'm glad there's still some folks that'll deal kindly with you. Amen. I know a lot of Baptists not too kindly. Somebody say amen. Well, that was weak. Somebody say amen. And she let them down by a cord through the window. For her house was upon the town wall. Don't forget that. Her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. She said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide yourselves there 3 days, till the pursuers be returned, and afterward may you go your way. And the men said to her, we'll be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line, underline that word, glory, hallelujah, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread, underline that word scarlet, in the window which thou didst let us down by. Lord, I'm fixing to shout. Thou shalt bring thy father and mother, brethren, and all the father's household home unto thee. And it shall be, underline this, that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house in the street, his blood shall be upon his head. We'll be guiltless. And whosoever shall be within the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon it. If thou utter this our business, then we'll be quiet of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. She said, according to your word, so it be it. She sent them away. They departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. You may be seated this morning. Father, we thank You for the good day. Thank You, Lord, for this time that we have to preach Thy Word. Help us to be a blessing. Fill us this morning. If it be one here that knows not You, I pray You'd draw them by Your amazing grace. Save them, God, by Your mercy and compassion. And we'll be careful to honor You and thank You for it. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm preaching this morning on this, what a report to be a Rahab. What a report to be a Rahab. I preached on the thought in days gone by on what a day to be a Daniel. What a need to be a Nehemiah. But now this Bible character, what a report to be Rahab. I want you to notice, first of all, in verse 1, you'll find the searching out of her faith. I'm glad that God comes by looking for people that have faith. Can I tell you, the Bible said that He's given to every man the measure of faith. Everybody sitting on the sound of my voice today has a measure of faith. God, when He breathed the breath of life into you, He gave you a measure of faith. Therefore, we're saved by grace through faith. Took Jesus to do what He done on a cross. And it's going to take the faith that He gave you to access that grace. And so therefore, by grace through faith are we saved. Aren't you glad what Jesus done for you gets you to heaven? What God put in you can access what He's done for you to get you into heaven. I sure am glad God's looking for people to access faith. He said this in verse number 1. You'll note the searching of her faith. There's a secluded residence. She is in Jericho, a dark place. Reminds me of the day and hour that we live in America. Seems to be getting darker and darker every day. Reminds me of the community that we live in. So many uncertainties. But I'm glad today in my hand I have a certainty. The Word of God's going to stand when this world is a-burning. And so we find the searching out of her faith. We see the secluded residence. She was tucked far away down in Jericho. I want to tell you, when God found me, I was tucked far away down in Jericho. Boy, aren't you glad that one day He come looking to you to have some faith. And so certainly we see her secluded residence. Number 2, we see a sinful reputation. Notice what the Bible said. They went and came to a harlot's house named Rahab. You say, well, preacher, you know, she must have been a very bad person. Well, can I tell you this? The Bible could have easily said that they came down to Eddie's house who was a liar. Or they come down to Elam's house, who was a thief. Could just as easily say that they had come down to somebody's house who was a robber, or a backstabber, or a gossiper, amen. Let me tell you, honey, just cause she is a harlot don't mean she is going to die and go to hell in her sin. I tell you why she needed Jesus. Not just because she was a harlot, because she was a sinner that needed to be saved by the grace of God. Hey, we love to label sin. Think it's biggins and littlins, but neighbor, let me tell you, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. And any sin in any of us is enough to keep us out of God's sweet heaven this morning. Be careful, don't get too down on her. We may not really know the circumstances she is in. I said something this week in Kentucky, preaching to people, sort of got a hold of it. My daddy always had a saying in Tennessee, boy, everybody knows how to handle the bear till they get a hold of him. Be careful, don't sum people up about what they're doing. It may be that they're in a situation. Could be if you was put in that situation, you'd be in the same circumstance. I found out, Brother Gerald, Brother Tim, the older I get, the more I need, as Barney Fife said, zip it, amen. just zip it. It'd do us all good to learn to zip it. But we do find this woman in a bad place doing some bad thing. And can I tell you, sin is still sin in the day and hour we live. I hear more in this day and hour. If you'll just back off preaching, if you'll back off calling sin, sin, the building will fill up. Well, it's pretty full this morning, amen. The choir was full today. And when God swept through here, it sure did get little, amen. But I'm going to tell you, friend, be sure your sin will find you out. Well, we find out here that she was a harlot. Her secluded residence and her sinful reputation. Brother Adam used this verse this morning in Sunday school. 1 Timothy 1 and 15, does my heart good? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I'm glad He came to this world to save me and you. And so, don't count Him out. Don't think you've done something too wrong that He can't forgive you. Don't think you've been doing it too long that Jesus can't set you free. Honey, I'm glad there's a God in heaven sent His Son to take our sin on a cross that can forgive us of all of our sins. So we see here in this setting of the story, there's a searching for her faith. There's a secluded residence. There's a sinful reputation. But thirdly, there's a social reception. The Bible said these spies came into it. Isn't that just like a sovereign God of heaven to send somebody by to awaken you about your sin? Isn't that just like the good God of heaven would allow somebody and what you was doing come by to tell you the old, old story? I sure am glad in my sinful condition somebody came by to awaken me of my sin and tell me about the good God of glory. Is anybody glad somebody come by one day? Oh, I'm glad that He saved the chief of sinners. If He saved the chief, it's hope for all the little Indians. Can I tell you, hon, God sent His Son on a cross that you may die and go to heaven. Not that you die and go to hell. Bible said you must be born again. No question about it. You must be born again. And we see here the searching for her faith. Number two, you'll notice in verses 9 through 11, there's the stirring of her faith. Now, something happened. There was a confronting message. She said to the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all that be the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Here it is. For we've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. Let me ask, has God done anything for you lately? There's a confronting message. He said, and when you came out of Egypt, what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that was on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Now the stirring of her faith, we see a confronting message. I'm glad I heard the gospel story. I'm glad I heard about a God that parted the Red Sea. I'm glad I heard about a God that favors all of His children. Nobody went hungry last night or this morning. You know why? Because God has highly favored you. And I'm glad I heard some old timers about what their God used to do, how it got me hungry, and how it confronted me about how I was living. She heard a gospel story. You ought to be glad God has put a gospel story in your life that you may be confronted with a message from the God of heaven. Boy, we see there was a confronting message. Notice in verse number 11, there was a convicting message. He said in verse number 11, and soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Boy, that's the Holy Ghost's job. You know, a man can study and pray and preach, and unless God melts the hearts, there's nothing going to be melted. I can tell you this, though, by the pattern and the statistics of our day and hour, if you sit around this church just a few times, not going to be long, your heart's going to be touched. I'm going to tell you something. We live in a day and hour when everybody's trying to touch the mind and touch the head. But I'm glad I go to a church. I'm glad I've heard a gospel that touched my heart. You see, your heart will make you do something your head won't make you do. Nehemiah went over and seen the ruined walls, and he told the boys, he said, "I've not come to tell you what God had put in my heart." Boy, we need God to melt our heart, sinner. You need God to melt your heart. You're going to die and go to hell without Jesus unless your heart turns to God. And you know, we see this stirring of our faith. There's a confronting message. There's a convicting message in verse 11. Our heart melted. But notice there's a convincing message in verse number 11. And she said this, "Soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Now, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." I'm glad I heard a convincing message. Oh, yes, she believed in the God of the Bible. A lot of people said, "Well, we believe that she didn't got saved before they got there." Well, could have been. I can tell you this, she done heard the story and her heart melted. And isn't it amazing, she done put flax up on the rooftop where there they would make material of a day. Looks like to me she done turned from her old occupation, putting stuff upstairs and maybe changed your occupation. I tell you what the God of this Bible do, friend. He'll make you drop what you was doing and let you pick up something new. So I say this today, there's the stirring of her faith. There's a confronting message. I'm going to tell you, people's not going to get saved till they are confronted about their sin. People's not going to get saved till they're confronted about a God where there's a payday coming someday. You know yourself, there's not a whole lot of pulpits declaring out what thus saith the Word of God today. We're in the entertaining business, but you better be glad that you have heard a confronting message that confronted you with your sin. A convicted message that melted your heart. And a conforming message that you could believe in the God that they had. Number three, not only the searching for her faith and the stirring of her faith, but you'll notice in now verses number 12 through 14, it is the saving of her faith. The Bible said in verse number 11, look down there, "He is God." I'm glad to me there's a belief. He is God. Can I tell you, Jesus was more than a good man? He was the God man. And there we see the saving of her faith in verse number 11. She said, "For the Lord your God, He is God." And then verse 12, not only her belief, but look at her behavior. The Bible said, "Now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I've showed you kindness, that you'll also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token." She said, "I'm believing in Him, and I want something to give me an assurity that I got Him." You know, there's nothing wrong in doubting your salvation for a while. But if you'll get rooted and grounded in the faith, you ought to have that assurance this morning. You ought to have a token in your heart that you have believed in Christ and He's done something personally for you. She said, "You know what? I've got a belief, but I'm going to tell you what my behavior is." She says, "I want a true token." And not only her behavior, but look at her burden in verses 13 and 14. Now, she's saved, and this is a great, great token that you got saved, is if you're troubled about somebody else. The Bible said, "And that ye will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, all my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." You know what I've noticed? As soon as people get saved and believe in God, they have a burden for others. I'm afraid we live in a day and hour where we have no burden. Me and my wife seen something this week that we hadn't seen in a long time. I'd preached the series God laid on my heart about Nehemiah. And I've noticed, you know, you can preach sermon after sermon. You can even preach sermons over and over, Brother Jason, but God will always move on a certain point. Matter of fact, we sing Amazing Grace more than once. It's okay for a preacher to preach his message more than once. Amen. But I got over there where Nehemiah, where he told them way at the homeland that the wall was broken and the gates were burned. And he said, I sat down and mourned certain days, fasted and wept. And boy, God moved on that church. And you ask my wife, that sermon went like a funnel. It started out like this and it went down. And when I got to that burden, God began to break people. You know what our problem is at Liberty Baptist Church? One of our biggest problems, it's not hearing the gospel. It's not lacking something in a nice facility. It's not, and I'm going to tell you something. I believe this all in my heart. It's not lacking with good families. There's some of the greatest families in this ministry that's in America. But you listen to your man of God this morning. Let me tell you what our church is missing is the burden for others. We're missing a birth. I heard mom and daddy's weeping for their grandbabies. When's the last time you've prayed for your grandbabies? When's the last time you've prayed for your children or your husband or your wife? The devil's hoodwinked us and said something's too hard for the Lord. There's nothing too hard. Nothing too hard for the Lord. Boy, she had a burden with her belief. I remember when I got saved, I wanted everybody around me to get saved. And I got to be honest with you, my burden is not where it has been. But I do have a burden. I've got enough burden to get me back to church. I've got enough burden to try to tell somebody about the gospel. She was burdened about her loved ones. That's one of the greatest ways that you know you're saved. If you was to die today, and you go to heaven, would your spouse be there? Would your children be there? Would your loved ones be there? You know, I left the church here last Saturday evening. I pulled out and I noticed a man cutting his grass. I've got to go to this man, Brother Lee. God has smote my heart about it. I got to thinking, Brother Randall, wouldn't that be something, a church like what we've got, sitting right here in the door of another man's house, and nobody had a burden for him to go tell him about Jesus. That's not much reflection on our church. I'm not talking about getting hung up in the book of Acts and spend 7 days, 24 knocking doors. I'm talking about being a witness and having a burden for people lost and undone without Jesus. We live in a culture when everybody's all right. We've all got religion. Religion will let you die and go to hell in your sin. You better know that you've accepted Christ as your Savior. So, we see her belief. We see, no doubt, she had asked about her burden. But now, I want to go to something and try to bring this out in closing this sermon this morning. There's the searching for her faith. God's looking for people to believe in Him. Church, God's looking for us to believe in Him. You know how you please God? By faith. Faith, I've noticed this, is never convenient. If you're waiting for a convenient time to serve Jesus, you'll never serve Him. If you're waiting for a convenient time to do something by faith, you'll never do it. The Bible said that He's pleased by faith. And so we see God is looking for somebody to believe in Him. Have you believed in Him? Let me ask you something, church. Yes, I've got a vision for this place. That wall's coming down one day. It's coming down. You say, "Preacher, well, we got pews empty this morning." That's right. I didn't say when it was. I said it's coming down. And let me tell you why it's coming down. Because God's looking for somebody to believe in Him. God's looking for you to believe in Him again. God's looking for somebody just because they've been slapped down to get back up and say, "I'm still believing you." He's looking for somebody that steps out even though the waves is hitching the face. And dear God, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord, and I'll believe in you again. I'll believe in you again. Miss Sherry, come. God's changed this message. He's looking for somebody to believe in Him again. I'll finish it tonight. Right now, I open the altar. If you got a burden, you got something that you need to believe in Him again, let me tell you, He's looking for somebody to believe in Him. He's looking for somebody to believe that the gospel still works. He's got somebody looking for somebody to believe that there's a church with an altar open that can still handle any problem that you got. He's looking for somebody to believe. Sister, you play. I open this altar this morning. You come around the house, whatever you need today.